Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome to the third of my four-part series about the plants and animals having connections in one way or another to the presidents of the United States. I hope you tuned in for my last program, in which I discussed the variety of birds that inhabited the White House as companions to many of our presidents and or their first ladies, as well as the surprising list of other life forms and even a fossil that over the years have been named in recognition or to honor various presidents. If you missed either of my previous two segments or wish to listen again to that or any other recent edition of In the Green Outdoors, simply visit the website at WZMO.com and click on the on-demand icon. So for this and my next program, I will continue my lighthearted and hopefully entertaining series about the amazing menagerie of animals associated with our U.S. presidents, beginning, of course, with Washington. My research has revealed that more than 400 birds, animals, and other creatures have called the White House home, and that the love of animals transcends party affiliations. Nearly every president has owned a number of animals. In fact, so far there have been only three presidents who haven't had any pets during their time in office: James K. Polk, Andrew Johnson, and Donald J. Trump. Now, in a way, that's quite understandable. We must remember that presidents are kept very busy running the country and often must go abroad. Still, in the earlier years of our democracy, in addition to house pets, a number of presidents had farm animals that graced the White House grounds. And it was not uncommon for some presidents to own very unusual, exotic, or even questionable animals that, while not always sharing the indoor living quarters, still were a significant part of their lives. George Washington was a key player in the development of the breed of dog now called the American Foxhound. He first had imported a number of hounds from England, and then was given some French hounds by the Marquis de Lafayette. Washington gave them creative names like Drunkard, Mopsy, Taster, Clo, Tipsy, Tippler, Forester, Captain, Lady, Rover, and Vulcan. His other dogs were a Dalmatian named Madame Moose, a greyhound, and a poodle named Pilot that he took along when he went duck hunting. Throughout his life, Washington owned many horses, with Nelson, his Revolutionary War steed, as his favorite. He was astride Nelson when he accepted the British surrender at Yorktown to end the Revolutionary War. Washington also had donkeys and mules. Our second president, John Adams, and his wife Abigail had horses named Caesar and Cleopatra, as well as several mixed-breed dogs, the very first canines ever to run on the White House lawn. That's because, although President Washington oversaw the construction of the White House, he never actually lived in it. It wasn't until 1800, when the White House was nearly completed, that President John Adams moved in. Thomas Jefferson received two grizzly bears as a gift from the explorer Zebulon Pike, but he didn't keep them. He also had a flock of mixed breeds of sheep at Monticello. One Shetland ram, despite his small size, killed several other rams and even a small boy, presumably a slave child, that had been crossing the area where the sheep had been kept. Thomas Jefferson also became interested in the breed of dogs called Briard, having acquired a pregnant Briard while serving as minister to France, and was gifted by the Marquis de Lafayette with two additional ones. Actually, these dogs did not live as pets in the White House, but were working dogs, and so protected the sheep at Monticello. James Madison's sheep grazed on the White House lawn also, and a parrot named Polly lived inside the house. As it happens, parrots have a long lifeline, and Polly outlived both the president and Dolly Madison. President James Monroe may have had a Siberian husky, but that's never been confirmed. His daughter, Maria, however, did have a black spaniel. Monroe, like Jefferson, had sheepdogs that also were provided by the Marquis de Lafayette as working dogs on Monroe's farm. According to legend, John Quincy Adams kept an alligator in the White House for several months. However, the White House Historical Society calls this a, quote, satisfying but dubious legend. It's true that he and his wife Louisa did raise silkworms, though, on the mulberry trees that were planted on the grounds. Adams observed their progress, but the silkworms were much more Louisa's project than his, and she enjoyed harvesting the silk from the silkworms and used it to spin with. Andrew Jackson had 5 horses, in addition to the parrot that I spoke of in my earlier segment, the one that had to be removed due to its loud and persistent profanity during Jackson's funeral. Martin Van Buren, Jackson's successor, received as a gift 2 tiger cubs from the Sultan of Oman. Van Buren loved the animals and battled Congress to be allowed to keep them in the White House. Now, you may not have recall ever having heard much, if anything, really, about our 9th president, William Henry Harrison, who had the briefest tenure of anyone in the White House, who fell ill and died after only a month in office. His cow, Suki, was not a source of milk, but merely a companion, along with a goat. Harrison's vice president and successor, John Tyler, was passionate about horses. His favorite was the General, which the 10th president owned for all 21 years of that animal's life. In addition to his wartime mount, Zachary Taylor's daughter was given a former circus trick pony that shared the stable with old Whitey the horse, who marched in the funeral procession when the president died. The president also had a greyhound. President Millard Fillmore named his 2 ponies Mason and Dixon after those intrepid explorers. Franklin Pierce was known for opening America to trade with Japan via Commodore Perry's expeditions. As trade was established, the president was given as many as 7 miniature Japanese chin dogs. Small enough to fit in a teacup, that breed also is known as sleeve dogs, since they were small enough to fit within the sleeve of a kimono. Although James Buchanan, widely considered the worst president in our history, was a bachelor, he enjoyed the company of his huge Newfoundland, a breed relatively unknown back then. Lincoln's love of felines was legendary. He was the first president to bring cats into the White House when Secretary of State William Seward gave him the kittens Tabby and Dixie. The Lincoln White House grounds also housed a pig, a white rabbit, and several ponies, one of which was a South American pony given to his son Tad as a gift. When the Lincolns were given 2 goats, Tad caused quite a stir by hitching them to a chair and driving them, as if on a sled, through a crowded reception being hosted by the First Lady in the East Room. In my earlier segment that centered on birds connected with presidents, I forgot to include that in 1863, 10-year-old Tad Lincoln rescued a turkey intended for a holiday feast that was sent to the White House. He named the bird Jack and treated him as a pet. This, however, was not the beginning of the presidential tradition of pardoning a holiday turkey. We will address that tradition in my segment before Thanksgiving. President Ulysses S. Grant, Ohio native, former Union general, and Civil War hero, shared the White House grounds with various animals. His war mount, that he named Jeff Davis, shared stables with 6 other horses and a couple of ponies. His son Jesse's companion was a big Newfoundland. However, the president's favorite was his dog Rosie, who he reportedly talked to while he ate. A parrot and some gamecocks also were in residence. Rutherford B. Hayes was surrounded by 8 dogs, some purebred, others not. His favorite was an enormous, powerfully built, gentle mastiff named Duke. The mastiff was among the first of his kind to be seen in the United States. The American Kennel Club did not recognize the breed until 1885. The first Siamese cat to arrive in the United States, aptly named Siam, was a gift sent to the First Lady, Lucy Hayes, from Siam, now Thailand, by U.S. Consulate David Sickles. Also in residence were canaries, a goat, and pedigreed Jersey cows. James A. Garfield had a Newfoundland called Vito, but the dog stayed on the family farm, not in the White House. Garfield's daughter, Molly, enjoyed riding her mare, Kit, in Washington, until she had a bad fall from the horse and never rode again. In 1881, President Garfield was shot twice on his way to a family vacation in New England. While he survived for 80 more days, he was incapacitated, and so his vice president, Chester A. Arthur, had to step up. Garfield died of his wounds, and Arthur became another vice president who succeeded to the office upon the unexpected death of his predecessor. President Arthur had no traditional pets, such as dogs, cats, or birds, but he did have horses, two of which were a pair of perfectly matched reddish-brown bays who would draw his landau as the president traveled through the capital. Grover Cleveland served as both the 22nd and the 24th president of the United States, the only president ever to have served two non-consecutive terms. He and his wife Frances loved animals, and the family owned 15 different kinds. Among the myriad of pets were a variety of dog breeds, included a Cocker Spaniel, St. Bernard, foxhounds, three dachshunds, a collie, and Mrs. Cleveland's French poodle. There also were Shawanek game chickens, ducks, ponies, canaries, mockingbirds, and hundreds of imported fish, including paradise fish, another gift from Siam. Mrs. Cleveland's ponies pulled her in her phaeton carriage. Benjamin Harrison had a fondness for animals that was widely known. While in office, the president had two pet opossums in the White House with the names Mr. Reciprocity and Mr. Protection. Harrison's goat, Whiskers, used to pull their grandchildren around in a cart. There's a story that says one day the goat bolted through the White House gate when the grandchildren were in the cart, and the president himself ran down the street after it. The First Lady Caroline had a collie named Dash. William McKinley, after having survived as a hero of the Spanish-American War, was the third American president to be assassinated. Now, as I mentioned in my other segment about birds that had lived in the White House, McKinley had a yellow-headed Mexican parrot with the unlikely name of Washington Post that could whistle Yankee Doodle. McKinley would hum tunes like Dixie, or a favorite song of his, Louisiana Lou, and the bird could hum the remainder of each tune. Shortly after his election in 1896, the new Republican president received a rooster as a gift from a Michigan Democrat, and there may have been other chickens in residence on the grounds. Theodore Roosevelt was the next occupant of the White House, and the Roosevelts' six children all owned pets. The dogs included a St. Bernard, a Pekingese, a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and a Manchester Terrier. But the most famous likely was the president's bull terrier, Pete, who once ripped the pants of a French ambassador. Among the variety of other animals were several cats, five bears, snakes, a lizard, some pigs, including a white pig named Maud, an owl, raccoon, guinea pigs, a zebra, a lion, a one-legged rooster, and more. At various times, there were a horned toad, kangaroo rats, a badger named Josiah, and a flying squirrel. The pony Algonquin was so beloved that when the president's son Archie was sick in bed, his brothers Kermit and Quentin took the pony up to his room in the White House elevator. A hyena named Bill was a gift from Emperor Menelik II of Ethiopia. A foreign dignitary before Congress at one time suggested that all such wild gifts should be kept in a zoo. Pretty sound advice, in my opinion. Oh, just the thought of having to keep track of all the human and non-human residents of the first Roosevelt administration has left me exhausted. Plus, I'm afraid we've run out of time for today anyway. Since we still have 20 presidents to go, we'll have to conclude in 2 weeks our review of the variety of animals that shared the lives of our first families. For now, this is Carol Kelly saying, although our recent light rainfall was of little benefit to our farmers, it has served to bring out a little healthier color to everything in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.